Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is Nazim Rashid. Yes, Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. We have a fantastic day today. Miracles are happening all around us, and we should expect miracles. Our birthing was a miracle. Absolutely. You know, we are looking at the blue sky today. That's a miracle. Look at how your heart is beating without your conscious involvement. That's a miracle. You know, we're created for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. You know, excellence and miracles are in your DNA. Absolutely. Yeah, welcome to another show on conscious parenting and personal growth. Conscious parenting and personal growth. And this is part 14. 14, yeah, believe that or not. I encourage everybody to go into the archives, www.blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred. Scroll down till you see my picture and the title, Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Click on that. Here are the shows. And when you go to the top, where you see the bar going across, all your bar there, to the right, you'll see a little tiny little cloud. You click on that cloud, and that's how you download. It'll go to your hard drive. Okay, you have to rename it and put it into your music files. You can make CDs out of it or put it into your iPod rotation. Okay? That's how you do it. All right? So this is part 14. And the series is based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And you can get this book. Everybody should have their book by now. And you could follow along with me as I talk and narrate from it, expand from it. You can get it on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. It's available in the ebook format if you have a Kindle or a Nook. Yeah. If you're in the States, if you are in the States here, okay, I'd rather for you go to my site, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. That's my site, and I will mail it to you personally and autograph it for you, okay? My email for you to connect with me for my life coaching services or for questions. We all need life coaching. nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right. Okay, here we go. So last week we were talking about character defects. Yeah. And how we could transform those character defects into positive character traits. Oh, yeah. We all have these defects. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea is how do we transform them? Well, like I state all the time after the past couple of weeks that I've been talking about this topic, there are two sides of the same coin. You see, you don't have to go far to figure out, you know, the positive counterpart to it. Just flip it over. And we'll talk about it today. Okay? All right. Now, last time we left off, last time we're talking about emptiness. I'll go over that as we always look at and try to recap what we said last week. So we ended on that, so I'll start on that. Emptiness. Love, you feel empty. You feel empty. See, that's when addictions come in, codependency comes in, those old abusing feelings. You feel like you have to control and manipulate someone. Yeah. When you feel empty, that's when those spirits, those voices come in to make a home in your consciousness. And whatever has a home in your consciousness is in charge of the steering wheel of your life. That's right. That's right. And this is everything into a conscious parenting and personal growth. Because if you feel empty, your kids will feel empty. It has a lot to do with marriages. Yeah, for sure. Everything. So I tie it all together. So for your parents, it's very important to be the model that you want your kids to see. Because they will be what they see, not be what you say. You understand that, don't you? All right. Emptiness. Very, very important to understand that. You know, addicts and codependents alike share this feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I always have a personal story here, too, because I identify with this character defect when I was a child. Emptiness seemed to be my best friend. I felt alone, even in crowds. High self-esteem was not present, not with the ridiculing and belittling and berating emotional abuse I endured from my brother and the lack of support from my mother. She was blind to the ill treatments he dished out. She never knew they existed. She was entertained by his behavior. There were no mentors around to teach me the resiliency skills and skills that would boost and maintain a high level of self-esteem. So emptiness was always around. There was no Nazim Rashid in my life. I wish there was. Now, when emptiness has a home in your soul, addictions and other codependencies are nearby. With emptiness comes the need to fill the void. So you can't fill it with appropriate, healthy emotional nutrients. If you can't feel that way, then anything around will do. Suicidal ideations or fantasies or self-destructive thoughts and destructive, dangerous thoughts against others all start creeping in to make a home within you. Like I said, they'll have a home right there. Then comes the drug and alcohol. You say to yourself, finally, an escape hatch to feel good and be okay, even if it is only for a small while. Now life can be really lived and fun can start. I'm okay now, or so you thought. Maybe the emptiness is from low self-esteem, where your whole identity is wrapped up in someone else. You're happy only when this other person, maybe an abusing husband, or someone you are idolizing, is happy. Your feelings are their feelings. When they laugh, you laugh. When they cry, you cry. When you get abused by them, you are mad with yourself for making them beat you. Heard that before? Your self-esteem is their self-esteem, and your own child within gets neglected, and that makes that child upset within you. Mm-mm. When your inner child doesn't get his or her needs met, sooner or later you're going to pay the price. Now, in my counseling days, when I was in practice, I encountered many women who fell right into this category. They had no identity outside of their husband's identity. Their soul didn't exist for them. These women typically don't abuse drugs. They might drink a little bit, but they wouldn't dare get drunk. That would be even more reason for the next beatdown. They just hold their true feelings inside, accept depression as their lot in life and just hope for a better day tomorrow. After denying their own feelings for so long, they lose touch as to what they are really feeling anymore. Now, when I asked them how they felt, they said, "Great, my husband this or my husband that." When they looked in the mirror, they saw their husband's image right behind them, whether he was there or not. Isn't that something? Now, that's the character defect, emptiness. Now, what's the character trait? Positive character trait. Truly fulfilled. That's the flip side to this coin. Truly fulfilled. Okay? All right? See, once we identify the character defect, that negative, character trait there, okay? We know what we don't want anymore. So now what do we want? We focus on that, and we want to be truly fulfilled. That will fill in the void that you just created when you kicked out emptiness. See how it works now? You kick emptiness out of your life. Now the void is there. You got to consciously fill it, or somebody or something else will. I'm saying you fill it with being truly fulfilled. Okay, now, here you go. That's the process we're doing here. When you're on the side of light and you have accepted to live a life of pure submission to what you are seeing and knowing to be God's way for you, you have a feeling of being truly fulfilled. You are not directing your life anymore from a mindset of, what can I get out of this person or situation? No, you're acting knowing that your thoughts and actions are in direct accord with God. It is not you anymore interacting with people and circumstances. No, no, no. It is God working through you as you go about your daily routines. You are constantly checking yourself to see if you are in alignment, hear that word, alignment with God's standards, which you have accepted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or are you straying a bit here or there? Huh? Your radar is on 24/7, so be on the lookout for deviancies. See, once you taste the life of beauty, compassion, empathy for others, and a sense of being favored by your creator, nothing else tastes good. Mm-mm-mm. Your standards for yourself have been raised, thus creating a new energy force around you. See, this new energy force attracts similar energy forces and also repels energy forces that do not complement it. You'll find that friends and associates from the old dark life don't come around anymore. And those old circumstances pass you right on by. Isn't that something? Now, you get the parking spaces, the green lights, the shorter lines in the store, more pleasant people in passing, opportunities needed, quality spouses, and you are attracting financial gains. Ooh, sounds good. Your self-esteem and self-confidence are all very high as you affirm for yourself what is already divinely implanted in your very nature. Foreign word to you now. Wow. Get that? That's truly fulfilled. Woof. I'm telling you. Get this episode and hear it. Sometimes I'm telling you, it might take you maybe the fifth or seventh time to hear what I just said in order for that to sink in. Yeah. I've been like that. I've heard lectures from great spiritual leaders. And first, of course, the first time was good. But after about the seventh or eighth time, I said, oh, wow, I didn't hear that before. The light bulb came on, So it's like that sometimes. So there's nothing wrong with that. So download this and hear it over and over and over and see what happens. See what lights up in your consciousness. Yeah. And then tell me about it. Email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. I love to hear your aha moments. All right, what's the next character defect? Fear motivated. Are you fear motivated? Maybe you are. Fear motivated. Well, see, fear dwells passively in every addict's mindset. Bullies fear that their victim will find out how weak they truly are. They have to overperform, which acts as a smokescreen, hiding their fears. The addicts fear rejection for many reasons. The drug or behavior of choice pumps them up so they don't think about it anymore. The fear of rejection originates from low self-esteem. Yeah. When your vision of yourself is very low, you think others have the same vision of you. So you're tuned into that channel called them. Yeah, big B on your forehead. On that victim channel, you only receive frequencies that resonate to that level of self-esteem. This only confirms what you are feeling about yourself. So you are now validated at that level. You know that more rejection is right around the corner. And this fear of the corner brings it on faster. Okay, come on with it. The law of attraction is working here again. Your thoughts are on fear of rejection. That's what's dominant in your thinking. Fear of rejection. Okay? Your dominant thoughts are on fear. See? We are controlled and directed by our most dominant thought. So what else can you bring about as a reality in your life this way? Huh? The only thing that will come of a certainty is what? Fear. You brought it about. You manifested it in your life. You created this abomination all in your current reality. This monster called fear will control and direct, with your permission, your life. It is similar to the concept of how compound interest works in the banking industry. Here, you have compounded depression. You can see how this character defect leads you to using more drugs, alcohol, gambling, food, sex addictions, chronic violence towards self and others. See, fear brings on anxiety. Fear brings on thoughts fixed on the negative past. Fear brings on panic and despair. Fear defeats goals. Did you hear that? With fear as your companion, you cannot act with free choice or positive intent. See, you go through life reacting and being defensive. You are unable to change the world you are in because you're on the victim channel. The frequency is unchanging and everything remains as it is. You see, instead of you changing your environment controls you and keeps you dysfunctional. You are aggressive at times and habitually break promises. Generally complaining to yourself and others is another characteristic of the fear. Yeah, complaining. You are ego-centered and repeat past mistakes and failures. You habitually use these phrases: I can't, I have to, I don't know how, that can't happen for me, and I see risk. See, fear also brings on distress and is tension-producing. It believes in problem probabilities and dwells on oncoming penalties. Did you hear that? All that's on fear, being fear-motivated. Now, is that you? Does this shoe fit your foot? Does any part of it fit you? Don't say, well, most of that, brother, doesn't apply to me. Does any part of it, you know, apply to you? Well, then it's you, okay? That's a character defect, and we want to get rid of that. So, what is the flip side to that? If we kick that out, how do we fill the void, and what do we fill the void with? Called desire motivation. Or being desire motivated. Okay? Now, desire motivation, unlike fear motivation, drives us toward our goal of being a better, more productive human being. Mm-hmm. Now, visualize this scenario I'm going to tell you right here to bring home this difference between desire motivation and fear motivation. Okay? Okay. Listen. The wife is sick and tired of being abused, and she decides to move on with her life. She still loves her man, but has made the decision that she can no longer live with his abusive ways. She is packing her bags, thinking about the relationship she has endured for the past 12 years. She thinks about the good times. Oh, yeah, the good times they had together, and she has a little smile on her face. She reflects on the personal things that she still likes about him. She packs her final piece of luggage into the cab and drives crying and looking back at the home and relationship, yeah, that she nurtured throughout the past 12 years. She arrives at the airport still lost in memories of her relationship, and her heart is beating fast and hard. Now, I want you to keep this scenario fixed in your mind. We'll call this example A. Okay? Now, here's example B. Here we go with the same woman, but different mindset. Okay? She has finally had enough conversations with herself to realize that she has divine authority residing within her. She has looked into her eyes with the mirror, with mirror conversations, and seen a hurt and crying out child within that needs her attention. That child within told her that if she would honor herself and honor the child within, her self-esteem and self-image would start rising. Oh, yeah. She would see by accepting that she is a child of God, she could accomplish anything that her heart desired. In her quiet, meditative moments, she felt the presence of God. Oh, yeah. God assured her that he has already given her everything for the complete fulfillment of her life. He told her that she would be provided for and taken care of if she just holds on to and steadily increases her faith in the process. As she gets filled up with more and more of this new reality, her desire motivation kicks in and propels her to her new life. Come on, here it comes, here it comes. She packs her bags with joy, knowing that her new life will produce wonders for her. Yeah. She keeps her mind focused on the life that has been promised to her by God and therefore has been divinely prescribed for her. She is not thinking about or holding on to it, the relationship, which in her mind is already a thing of the past. All right, come on. She packs her final piece of luggage and gleefully throws it into the cab, dancing and, oh yeah, prancing, blesses the home and speeds away to the airport. All right, feeling joy in her heart. Yeah, doesn't look back. She arrives at the airport lost in a paradise of her life, which she has visualized and accepted, as the cab driver startles her with the announcement of being at her gate. She is serene, calm, and very pleasant to all the airport staff and anyone who she might run into. She carries a peaceful aura about her, and smiles seem to surround her everywhere she goes. Okay? All right, this is example B, like I was saying. Okay, now, let's check these two out, all right? Got the first one in mind there? Okay, the first one, example A, is an example of fear motivation. See, she has been beat up too many times, and she is tired of the pain, fear, anxiety, and destructive stress that she has endured. Fear and despair have been her best friends for many, many years and are still her companions. See? Fear kept her in the relationship, and fear is driving her away from her relationship. She is fearful that maybe next time he might kill her with his aggravated assaults. As she leaves, she is constantly looking back. See, this is classic fear motivation. Instead of looking where she is going, as in desire motivation, her mind is still on her. See, when we change our lives based on fear motivation, we are doomed to repeat our mistakes in the next scenario. We see this happen all the time. The men and women go from one relationship to the next, to the next, to the next, only find the same characteristics in the next situation. If the person is an enabler and in one relationship, they will play the same role in the next relationship. If the person is an abuser and one conscious level not wanting to abuse in the next relationship, they abuse anyway because their motivation to change was based on fear, not desire. See? Everybody got that? Okay. Now let's look at example B. Now, she has made some very different decisions with her life. She honestly looked at her situation from an observer point of view. Okay? She saw her mistakes and bad choices, insecurities, unhealthy training, for example, from her mother, for example, in her early environment. She saw those things. She accepted standards from her family and peers as a child. Her present condition, which has been damaged by it all, and the child within crying and begging for needed attention. She said to herself that she wants better, needs better, is deserving of better, is now claiming better, will have nothing but better in her life from this moment on. Hear that? She is now honoring and protecting her soul and that child within. See, her new higher standards are uncompromisable. She is now unstoppable. See, this is an example of desire motivation. Oh, yeah, desire motivation. Her eyes are keenly fixed toward her goal and not on her past. She knows exactly where she is going and has no thoughts of retreating. You hear that? See? Just like in recovery. You go to recovery and you stop doing drugs, you know? And what happens is the program isn't strong if it's not strong for you. You still have thoughts of going back. Why? Because it was fun, it was comfortable, and you kind of like that. Yeah, that mind-altering state. Yeah, yeah. But in desire motivation, you know where you're going and have no thoughts of retreating. All right? Desire motivation puts optimism in your dominant thought process. This tunes you into the optimist channel, thus increasing your thoughts toward optimism as a natural part of your thinking and behaving. Now, since you are more sensitive to optimistic possibilities, you tend to see them everywhere and you inspire people around you positive behavior. Uh-huh. See, there's a burning inner drive that propels you toward your goal. It also triggers any memories of successes in your past and excites the need to replay these and to create more winning experiences. See the difference there? Yeah. Instead of thinking about all the bad things and replaying those things, you think about the good things. And you play those things to create more winning experiences. Yeah. Now, Dr. Dennis Whaley, in his Psychology of Winning tape series, I studied that. I'm a student of his. Says that a winner, desire-motivated person, says repeatedly to themselves, I want to. I can. I see opportunities. I will. It is the emotional state between where you are and where you want to be, a magnetic tension like a bow pulled tight. It propels you toward your goal. It is ignition power. We keep our mind keenly focused on just the desired results instead of the possible problems. See? Follow this? What are you tuning into right now? Ask yourself, what are you tuning into? The problems, the bills, or the possibilities? The lack or prosperity in your life, huh? What are you tuning into? the faults of your spouse or positive character traits of your spouse. Where you focus on multiplies. Keep that in mind. Huh? You kids, focusing on how bad they keep the room or bad attitude they had in school. You focus on that. Or you focus on the positive traits that help you to love them even more. What are you focused on? It's very important to understand that. Okay? Yeah, for sure. Excuse me. I had to get a little water there. All right, there you go. It is very important to be success-oriented in this whole addiction recovery or recovery process from the old life to new life, old way of thinking to new way of thinking. Okay? During a time when addictions were totally controlling your spirit, the only orientation allowed was the strict adherence to the drug culture with all its deleterious standards and norms. Since that mindset was so much a part of your makeup, you have to do a serious mental shift toward becoming success-oriented. Every day and even different parts of the day have to be spent in checking yourself to see if your thoughts, actions, self-talk are modeling, are on your clean and sober, productive, life-giving path. Yeah. This is why the traditional 12-step recovery model you hear in, that you have to live this program, they say one day at a time, right? Okay. In the Islamic religion, in Al-Islam, we have five prayers spaced out during the day and the evening. So we say we have to live this program one prayer at a time. See, in this manner, you have a mechanism in place that checks your intentions all during the day. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's hard when people are used to beating people up. You got a husband or a wife, or you love beating people up, and you want to do another, you want to have another kind of mindset. It's hard because everything about the other person ticks you off. And you feel a need to beat them, huh? Remember that negative thing you see in them is really in you. Absolutely. So we have to detox that spirit out of us. Okay? Now, Dr. Whaley also states, quote, "You cannot dwell on the reverse of your desired ideal and expect change for the better. When you are dominated by stress, you are unable to change the world you live in." See, the world then alters you instead of you altering the world. Success is dependent on drive and persistence. Yeah. You hear that? Let me say it again. When you are dominated by stress, you are unable to change the world you live in. The world then alters you instead of you altering the world. So we're sent here to remake the world. We're supposed to create that shift. We're responsible for the shift of the world to the most positive, life-giving energy. Yeah. Success is dependent on drive and persistence. This is what you have to internalize in order to lead a complete new productive life. Yeah, drive, persistence, patience, consistency, faith, and deeds. Oh, yeah. See, all the above things reflect your new faith. Everybody got that? Okay. All right. Now, I was talking about what? Desire motivation, right? Versus fear motivation. Everybody got that? Okay. Now, that was a positive character trait. Now, the negative, the character defect now we want to address is depression. A lot of y'all might say, yeah, that's me for sure. I got plenty of that. Okay, let's talk about it. Okay? There are many ranges, levels, and categories of depression. There is the occasional depression that most people get from time to time. This is the one where you feel sad, a loss of joy, and generally have the blues. Mm-hmm. Then there is a clinical or major depression, which is considered a mental illness and mood disorder. Clinical depression needs medical as well as psychological intervention. In the world of addiction, there is a mix of these categories. See, some addicts have, with their addiction, clinical depression diagnosis. Their drug of choice acts as a way for them to self-medicate. in order to feel better and drown out their depressive thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. There are others who, because of their low self-esteem and non-supporting environment, experienced a low-level depression, which over time escalated to the point of them turning to drugs, alcohol, and or controlling behaviors toward others. Yeah. The controlling behavior, like the drugs and alcohol, covered up the voids in their emotional makeup. See, clinical depression has main symptoms and needs clinical intervention. These symptoms include, okay, now y'all checking, if you have some of this, you probably have to see a doctor if you haven't already seen one. Irritability, mood swings, loss of life, yeah, loss of appetite, night sweats, lethargy, memory impairment, difficulty sleeping, headaches, weight gain or weight loss, constipation, chronic crying, monotone voice, neglected appearance, guilty feelings, social withdrawal, feeling hopeless, feeling empty, withdrawn behavior, anger feelings, loss of capacity for enjoyment, suicidal thoughts, poor hygiene, flat affect, self-deprecation, thoughts about dying, excessive sleep, sudden awakening, boredom. Okay? All right, many of them have auditory and visual hallucinations along with borderline personalities. See, the key here is distinguishing clinical depression from having sporadic periods of bad feelings. You know, that's very important, you know? Also, time frames, okay? The experts say that the depressed mood must persist for greater than 2 weeks in order to warrant this diagnosis. You hear that? Let me say it again. Okay? All right. The experts say that the depressed mood must persist for greater than 2 weeks in order to warrant this diagnosis. Mm-hmm. This translates to a consistent feeling of inner torture and emptiness. And emptiness, yeah. Candidates of this kind of depression, I'm talking about clinical depression now, need to be on a strict medical regimen. Yeah, for sure. With regular intervals of monitoring and counseling for maybe their entire lifetime. See, when you add drugs and or alcohol into the mix, you only exacerbate the problem and make it that much more difficult to treat. Okay? Now I'm going to focus on the lighter side or the low-level depression that many addicts and many people who have controlling behaviors also have, which contributes to their slip into the darkness of addictions and abusing behaviors. Okay? Now, again, I always want to say every so often, I'm not straying from the topic. We're talking about conscious parenting and personal growth. This has everything to do with conscious parenting, because if you have this depression going on, remember, the kids be what they see. They see you acting up, you know, got the blues all day, or you're going to beat the mother up and so forth and blame her for it, got alcohol in the corner and all that. The kids see that, believe me, they see everything. Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, life should be enjoyed. Have fun. Smiles, both outer and inner, should be the normal expression. As a child, you deserve to have a supporting environment with both parents demonstrating their love for you, both parents. Everyone in the household, be they siblings or other family members and friends, should be demonstrating love, compassion, and goodwill toward you. Every level of your development, you deserve to have all the environmental figures giving you what your developmental need dictates. That's right. Everybody present has a role, and they should all know their roles and responsibilities. Yeah. Daddy has his role. Mommy has a role. Aunt Dot has a role. Uncle Ted has a role. Grandma Courtney has a role. Grandpa Silas has his role. Brother Anwar has his role. And Sister Shamika has her role. They all know what to do with you at the right, appropriate time in your development, right? Well, this sounds good, huh? When any When any one of those figures interact with you and give you something other than what is needed, the possibility of emotional problems can begin. So you see, this is when those problems or seeds can cause some devastation with you 20, 40 years more down the road. See, those seeds can be the start of your depression. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's why a lot of us love the blues. You know? Yeah, I'm telling you, we love seeing that because we got problems. 3 o'clock in the morning, dun, 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 dun. You know, all those, I'm not going to try to sing that. You know what I'm talking about. All right? For example, you could feel in your 40s that your mother favored your sister over you because you were given hand-me-down clothes, and she always received new clothes. And you found out that there was only one blouse that was handed down to you from her, and that you received new clothes every year just like she did. It was the low self-esteem you felt and the ill feelings you had for your sister that dominated your mind so much that it only took one incident for you to feel bad 4 decades later. Isn't that something? In order to keep a feeling like that alive in the recesses of your mind that long, you needed something to justify your negative feelings for her and your disappointing feelings you had for your mother for not guarding and supporting you from her emotional assault against you. One blouse given to you was all it took. Isn't that something? One little incident like that, and you hold on stuff for all those decades. Yeah. Now, reflect on my childhood. My own childhood brings depressive memories at times, you know. I felt a lot of emptiness, lethargy, and lack of well-being in my own childhood. Yeah, my own childhood in Chicago. On a couple of Christmas mornings, I wanted to stay in bed, feeling that my wishes would not be granted. I said, why bother getting up? What's going on in my head? Now, I had nothing tangible, nothing that my parents did that would justify my emotional disposition. My mother, she did her best to make sure we were not denied much of anything, really. My feeling was solely my own, based on the general depression I was feeling. My brother was the major factor with my self-deprecating feelings. You know, he made me feel inferior on a continuous basis. There was never an empathic, genuine, healthy, resonating love that healthy human beings have for one another present. No. A love for one another's inner spirit, which shows in respect, kindness, honor, and compassion. It was always a master-slave relationship, even though he didn't outwardly go to extremes because my mother would never allow that. That feeling, nevertheless, was felt inside of me and caused anger, frustration, sometimes hatred toward him. All these emotions contribute to my depression and sadness, and these feelings help to contribute to my fall into the world of and culture of addictions later in my teenage years. Yeah. Yeah. I started with alcohol, then on to marijuana, cocaine, psychedelic drugs, acid, mescaline, mushrooms. There was one suicide attempt in those teen years, you know. I became more depressed when I woke up after ingesting a whole bottle of aspirin. I looked for some prescribed medication around, but at the time there was none in the house. All I could find was aspirin, so I just emptied that big bottle. I also had thoughts of a suicide as a child, imagining and visualizing jumping off of our two-story building from the rooftop. I held on unto that negative fantasy for a long time. I even focused on where I would land so there would be no possibility of survival when I jumped. See, depression is not fun, and no child should have to experience this low feeling ever. No, no, no. Don't get me wrong. There were plenty of good times, too, so I don't want to paint the picture that there was no life in my past, in my childhood. We went to great middle school, took trips out of town, scouting events, dancing, piano lessons, had great friends on the block. There were laughter and smiles all the time. There was no profanity, fighting, drinking, smoking, or anger. None of that was happening. You see, there is another side to childhood, my childhood, anybody's childhood. See, I didn't have major clinical depression, even though I had some of those related traits. So I'm just painting this picture of darkness to make the idea of depression real to you and hopefully help those who can identify with my experience and help their own child who is still crying out for loving attention. You see? Yeah. Okay? Now, that's depression. Now, what's the flip side to that? It's called inner joy and happiness. Remember, like I said before, we're transforming you from the destructive character defects into the wonderful producing character traits. You identify what you don't want, get rid of it, and you fill the void with what you do want. And how you fill that void that you now created after you kick depression out is with inner joy and happiness. Inner joy and happiness. Okay, here we go. Happiness is a feeling that needs to be explored. We don't spend enough time in this area. We talk so much about the things we don't like, bad news, the bad police brutality against our people, the bad things, racism and terrorism, and you know all this going on in the world, all this stuff. We don't spend much time on what we do like. Where's the fun? Where's the happiness? Where's the joy? Where's all this? Huh? Now look at a picture of Snoopy. You all remember Peanuts cartoons and Snoopy? What does Snoopy do a whole lot of? Dancing. Dancing. He just danced. Then you have Lucy, who had her little arms folded on her waist, and said, "You stupid dog. How can you dance with all the poverty in the world and hunger and all that? How can you dance like that?" And Snoopy just reached over and kissed her and kept on dancing. She runs off and says, "Dog germs, dog germs, dog germs." You see, we don't laugh enough. See, happiness. We can be happy when our little five-year-old opens her birthday present and she laughs and screams with joy. Happiness. We can be happy when we discover that a girlfriend or boyfriend is truly our soulmate and prosperity partner. They become our spouse. We can be happy when we taste our grandmother's sweet potato pie with a special graham cracker crust. Mm. I can taste it now. Mm. We can be happy. We learn how to ride our bicycle without the train wheels for the first time. We can be happy. When we graduation stage, you see our doctorate degree. We can be happy. Witness our children and grandchildren walk across their graduation stage receiving their diplomas. We can be happy seeing youth who we have mentored and trained evolve themselves now and are now acting in the capacity of mentors for other youth. Yeah, I did that in California. We can be happy with that first book that we have written or that first original song that we have recorded. We can be happy when we witness our child coming out of the womb, breathing her first breath of life in your arms. We can be happy when we are playing our musical instrument and feeling fully supported. We can be happy securing our first contract in our own business after making a daring decision to quit our so-called secure job and got off the plantation. We can be happy living in our own home, not renting, own home, knowing that everything we see around us was produced by our own efforts, and it belongs to us, okay? Yeah. Feels good, huh? Just saying that makes you feel good. All the scenarios are indeed reasons to be happy, and I cannot minimize them at all. See, when we look at the dark life and mentality of depression, we contrast that feeling with happiness and being enthusiastic about life. We get another idea of happiness. You see, happiness is the understanding that we are connected to and are a major part of the flow of life. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Happiness is the understanding that we are connected to and are a major part of the flow of life. And it is this understanding that says that as we take an active part in the flowing process, we will get not only rewarded, but a greater, much deeper state of happiness within. See, also in this is the accepted idea that we have been chosen to receive this level of understanding. Student is ready, the master will appear, huh? See, at this stage, our minds are now ready to receive this blessing. You see, this is where God steps in to prepare you for this next journey along life's way. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have been chosen in order to perpetuate this process of life's flow. Yeah. God wants to use you for his benefit. Yeah. The more we advocate this idea, the more others can and will be influenced to be a partner in this process and thus influence others. As life promotes and begets more life, life continues. Whew, that feels good. Man, it makes me feel good. Wonderful. In depression, life had no real meaning, whereas in true happiness, life is highly regarded, honored, loved, and appreciated on all levels and truly treasured as God's gift to the world. We are excited about life and the unending possibilities that are always surrounding us. We are eternally grateful for our five senses as they are continually reminding us of life's greatness. Yes, we tune our ears to hear the sound of nature. When's the last time you did that? To appreciate and be entertained by the song of the birds. To hear the sound of water as it is flowing down the stream or as its waves are lapping against the beach. We also appreciate hearing our own heartbeat, the heartbeat of others. Yeah. Even when we hear the hustle and bustle of cars going to their hurried destinations, we still hear the sound of life, for it is the sound of our own creation and our own productive energy. You see? We also enjoy hearing the sound of hearing that first cry from our child emerging from the womb and their sound that they are experiencing this new creation. And hearing the laugh of loved ones. Yeah. Now we melt in our seats as we hear classic musical concerts. God's word as it travels deep to our inmost inner kingdom and sanctuary. Yeah. We sensitize our tongues. All right, here are our five senses. Here's five senses. Okay, you got the ears, all right, tongues. We sensitize our tongues to taste the wonderful spices from around the world in international food markets. We taste our loved ones cooking in pure admiration and ecstasy. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. This strengthens our connection to our loved ones and also adds to our faith in this process. See, these new experiences inspire us to have new favorite dishes and to also appreciate in a greater degree the culture in which our new dish originated. Yeah, it gives the appreciation for other people and other cultures. In our new discoveries, we have a better idea of the need for discernment. So we only let in what is genuinely life-producing. All right? That's all. We will not taste anything that is not life-producing. Okay? Now, I talked about the ears. I talked about the taste. Huh? How about the vision? We appreciate our vision. We now see vivid colors all around us that were always disguised before. We know now that all the colors of the rainbow are always around for us to admire and reflect our gratitude. Yeah. If we close our eyes and fix our minds on any color for just 30 seconds and then open our eyes, I bet you'll notice that color is somewhere in your midst. I've done it before. Yeah. Perfectly outside. I'll say it again. Close your eyes and fix your mind on any color for about 30 seconds and then open your eyes. You'll notice that color is somewhere in your midst. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Whatever we keep fixed in our mind long enough will appear for us to enjoy. See, life is here to serve us and make us happy. We can see further down the road now and can tell where we're going. Our vision of our goals and ambitions are clearer now that the fog of addictions and controlling behavior have been cleared away. We can now, yeah, we can go into art, history, and into a science museums and appreciate, yeah, and also grow inwardly in terms of our consciousness and enlightenment. Yeah, we can enjoy these things now instead of the club, always going to the club. Yeah. We can see now that we can see the beauty in art, history, and science that were not possible before. See, our curiosities are now ignited with motivation to learn more and to share more. As we look at potential mates, okay, hear this now. We now look for qualities that match our life production and God-respecting qualities. Okay? We appreciate what God has done with us as we look into the mirror with admiration and humbleness. We look at our families and our communities with the same admiration, respect, and gratitude. See? Now we love our new sense of touch. Here comes touch now. Touch. We notice the warmth and the love of our loved ones as we are hugging them. We can feel their heartbeat as our little ones go to sleep in our arms. When we hold hands with our life mates, our spouses, our prosperity partners, we feel a surge of love going through our entire body, so much that we sometimes get that warm rush throughout. As we are handling our animals, we feel life through them and the further acknowledgement of God's gifts to us. We are more appreciative of the talents our touch has that we earn a living from the proper use of them. We see how our artistic touch conveys our feelings, be it on the canvas, sculptural format, or in a musical format. As we are working with our hands in our garden, we have yet another avenue for appreciating what God has given us. Fertile soil, the beautiful flowers, plants, and trees, and the whole process of cause and effect being demonstrated right before our eyes. You see, all through the magic of touch. Our sense of smell is so magnificent as we deep breathe. Yeah, deep breathe outside. Yeah, deep breathe. A lot of us don't do that. Deep breathe, especially right after a hard rain, we notice a heightened sense of beauty and life coming into our nostrils, filling our lungs with joy. The art of meditation cannot be enjoyed without the repeated deep breathing steps. See, as we breathe deeply, especially the diaphragmatic style, you know, deep breathing where your stomach goes out like a little baby. If you notice the baby sleeping on its back, you notice the little tummy going up. Yeah. We breathe from down there. Use your back muscles. You blow up like a balloon inside. You'll find that you can relax much, much better and faster. Bring down your blood pressure, your stress, everything. The air smells different after we deep breathe. Our blood pressure is even more regulated. Our sense of smell is more sensitized, and we start picking up certain spice smells in the kitchen and restaurants. Yeah. Our food smells better, and we give compliments to others on the way their cologne, oil, or perfume smells. We notice flowers more and more. Oh, also, when items need to be discarded. Okay, yeah. Ooh. We only want smells that reflect life and not the other way around. All right. Now, the character defects and feelings, you know, that doesn't apply to everybody. You know, like I always said before, if the shoe fits, you put it on. It doesn't fit you, throw it away. It's not for you. So you got to discover which ones. I've talked about character defects for the past few weeks now. So discover which ones resonate with you and how they have impacted your life. List the people, places, and events associated and associated feelings that you are involved in. So your picture of this principle here, this idea here, is your and only your picture, you know? Yeah, so list the people and places and events and associated feelings that you're involved in, you know, so you can apply this towards something, okay? The results are only as clear as your definitions and descriptions of the problem are clear, okay? You are excited now about life and all that life has to offer. You are enthused about life and appreciate being chosen to go through that great portal and come out renewed, refreshed, and recovered. Okay? All right. Now I finished the list of character defects. Right now you should understand how the process works. Are you clear to identify the character defects that applies to you? Ask God to remove that. Kick it out. Fill the void with the positive counterpart, the positive character trait. Now next week, next time I'm on, a couple of weeks from now, about 2 weeks from now, I'm going to go over all of them again, character defects and character traits. Just kind of just browse over them and move on to the next area, okay? All right? All right, so again, this is Nazim Abdul-Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And the book can be purchased on Barnes & Noble at Amazon. And if you're in the States, in the USA, I prefer you for you to go to my site, www.cloudsofabundance.com, and get the book that way, and I will mail it to you personally. Hit the buy now button and also autograph it for you. And you could chat with me on my email, nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right. I'd love to hear from you, okay? For sure. All right. All right. Also, yeah, my show called The Reconnected Show on Saturdays. On that show, I'm the host. I interview different personal growth leaders and spiritual leaders on that show. So at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you can just dial if you'd like to listen on your phone or live. You like this show, like to listen on your phone. So it's 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. And just listen to that show. And this week I'm going to talk about communication skills with Dr. Brown. So that's a real good program to hear. A lot of us have problems in that area. Oh, yeah, for sure. So that's happening this coming Saturday, all right? Okay, so there you go. And the website, in case you want to listen to it online, just like this show, it's after the three W's, we have blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Then you'll tune right to the show and then hit the live button there and you'll hear it, okay? All right, there you go. All right. So it's important to really, you know, get the tools and be on the healing side. That's real important. Be on the healing side. You know, we've been on the dark side too long. You know, I don't care how familiar that is, how comfortable that is. Get out of it. Get off that pot. Get onto a new pot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The joy, happiness, new life. Yes, yeah, do that, okay? So I'm going to close out right now. This is Nazim Abdul-Rashid signing off. Greetings of peace that only God can give to be with you, okay? Only peace that God can give be with you. Assalamu alaikum.